just did it because he knew who his God was. And as we were singing that song, I just had this kind of feeling that maybe there's some people here today who are kind of right now facing your Goliath. And maybe you're in a place that your finances are really big and you don't know how you're going to make them. Or maybe your children are out of control and you don't know how you're going to manage them. Or maybe your marriage is broken and you don't know how it's going to be fixed. And you've got this Goliath and you're at this point of like, am I going to stand out? And am I going to take the rocks? Am I going to take the stones? Or am I just going to crumble? Because sometimes we just feel like we could crumble. So I want everybody to stand up. And if possible, Jason, I'd love to sing that God for us. Just that verse, just a couple times. And if everybody would just stand up. If you're in that place today, let's claim God for us, God with us. And let's allow your faith to rise up in the knowledge of who God is. Lord, that when we are facing the finances, when we're facing the marriage problems, when we're facing the not knowing what's going to happen in our near future, when we're facing all of these things, we can stand knowing that you are with us and you are for us, and nothing can come against. Nothing can stand between us. And Lord, I just ask that if there are people here today who are just feeling tired, feeling depressed, feeling anxious, Lord, that they would see that you are bigger than all of those things, and that those things are a Goliath that will fall in the name of Jesus as we claim you and as we allow you to fight the battles for us. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Jason and team. All right, pull out your bulletins for the announcements this morning. Thursday, October 17th. I'm pretty excited about this. Some of you may know I work in the social work field. My sister works in the social work field. Bob Everts works in the cop field. And you know what we love to do? We love to talk about all those things. We love to talk about politics and abuse and treatment and all those fun topics. And so we get together like on a monthly basis and have coffee and we talk. And Bob was really excited about this. And I mean, I've known Bob his whole life. So when he's excited about something, I pay attention. We should all pay attention when Bob is excited about something. And this is Save the Kids. It's hosted at Salem Alliance Church. Anybody here know a kid, have a kid, or know somebody who has a kid? Probably most of us, right? And this is, or are a kid, this is an event where Colin Karchner is going to be speaking. He's a TEDx speaker. He's an expert on basically online stuff. And, you know, we are not to live in fear. Like, this is an evil, depraved world, and we're not to live in fear of it. However, we should be knowledgeable of what's out there so that we can protect our kids. And so I just want to encourage any of you who have kids or have interactions with kids to go to this so that you have knowledge of what's out there and how we can keep our kids safe. It looks like on November 2nd, I have tickets to a Blazer game. Oh, wait, I do, but so do the men. And guess what? This kind of stinks. The men got good tickets. I'm like, I've got standing room tickets that hopefully I get upgraded. But the men, you have really, really good tickets. So see Kent Kilgore right over here. So they show it too. So you'll probably be up on the big screen because they always show the Rip City Row. And I was like, seriously? That's where they get to sit? I'll be waving from you guys from way up top. All right. And then November 17th, we have our annual soup wars. Who here is already planning what soup you're going to make? You are, Kyler? Good deal. Yeah, so let's, it's a night where we get to come together and have just like Thanksgiving as far as in our hearts, have worship and glorify the Lord and have some really yummy soup. And so with all of that, oh, and then on the bottom, Operation Christmas Child is coming up. So start collecting your shoe boxes and start collecting your stuff that you'll need so that we can bless kids around the world. And with that, we welcome our pastor.
Thank you, Amber. Morning, everybody. Good to see you. It's good to be here. Hey, and it was nice to have the words up this week. What? It's okay. Sorry. Wasn't it good to have the words up? Some of you are actually singing this time. That was great. About 40 years ago, I was pastor here, and I had some really good friends. And they were in my, I had a adult class, and there's about 24 of them is adult marriage class, a young adult marriage class. And we just had a great time together. And you know me, I like to goof off. I'm a goofball. I like to do that. Did you know that about me? You didn't know that about me. I am. I like to goof off. But let me tell you something about guys who like to goof off and guys who like to tease. They don't like to be teased. Did you know that about? Yeah. Well, there was this guy who, to this day, is one of my favorite people, and he calls me pastor, and he lives in a different state, and every once in a while, we'll call each other and talk. But he was teasing me, and he was calling me a little name. It wasn't anything wrong with the name, and he loved me, and I knew that, but it irritated me. It just bothered me. Now when I said irritated me, I mean it irritated me, and I got very serious. And I turned to him, put my finger in his face just like Biden did. Oh, I shouldn't say that. But anyway, I put my finger in his face, and I said, as for you, you call me Pastor Dave. And can I tell you something? That's the problem with the church today. My problem that I had 40 years ago. We think too much of ourselves when we shouldn't be thinking of ourselves at all. It should all be about Jesus Christ, all about Him. And I know what some would say. In fact, some here who love me dearly would say, well, people need to show respect. Okay. What does that have to do with my attitude? You see what I mean? Yeah, people should show respect to people. And the Bible says that we should show respect to everyone. And I didn't show respect to him. And see, the Bible makes it very clear that we don't react to people. We respond to their need in whatever it is. Today we're going to look at a scripture as we start in the book of Mark. Just a phrase. I'm not going to take the time because time has gotten away. And we have communion this morning, which I'm so excited about. In your notes, in Mark 1 and verse 7, And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and to untie." Not worthy to untie Jesus' shoes. I want us to think about that and consider that. And when you think about John the Baptist, who he was, I mean, do you realize, in fact, let me read the scripture to you. It's in Matthew 11:11, what Jesus said about John the Baptist. He said, "I tell you the truth, of all who ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist." Now think about that. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, man of faith, Abraham, some of the women who had incredible faith in God that, well, we don't know their names, but anyway. Oh, we always name the men, right? But incredible men and women, and he says there's no one that was as great as this man. And truly, he must have been great. He must have had incredible abilities and gifts, because he goes out into the wilderness, as you know, and he begins to preach about sin. And people flock to him. 20 to 30 miles they walk to hear this guy in the wilderness. I mean, it's an amazing thought when you think about it, on how incredible a man he must have been. And especially when you think of how Jesus spoke of him and the respect that he had for him. He was an amazing man. And yet he says in his relationship with the one that would come, and at one point when he sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. He knew something about Jesus. He didn't know fully, and he didn't know exactly who this Jesus was, but he knew that he was the Christ. And that was a term that we'd use. Mike the Butcher. Oh, we can't use that anymore. He's not the butcher any longer. But a term that, you know, the guy who's the clerk, Bill the clerk. Jesus the Christ, the one who would come and save the world from their sins, the one who would redeem us. And of course, John the Baptist and the people of that time, they didn't understand fully what that meant. In fact, John the Baptist later on, he questions Jesus. He's in prison, and he has some of his friends go and talk to Jesus to ask him, "Are you really the one that we've been looking for?" Because there were some things that Jesus did that was different than they had in mind. Because he was one who had authority, but he walked in humility. And he talked about his death. And he questioned that, and Jesus tells him, "Hey, go back and tell John what you've seen. Go tell him the things that I've been doing." So that he'll know that I am the Christ. I'm the one that came. Now that's what the Bible tells us about Jesus, the Christ. This thought, though, that I want us to think about, what does this say about John the Baptist? That he says, "I am not worthy to untie a shoe." John the Baptist. Now, of course, some of the things that you would think about, well, he was humble. Yeah, he was humble. And if there was anyone who could stand and say, "Look at me, I am somebody." In fact, in our culture, that is an important thing. I am somebody. And it was magnified years ago when Muhammad Ali came on the scene. And the arrogance and the chest stuck out. And I am the greatest. And now you see that all the time. You see, right now we have football season going on. And it is so funny to watch. It's bothersome to me these days, but to watch these guys who are so hungry to be someone and to be noticed. They're behind 30 points, and a guy will make a tackle, and he'll stand up and do a little dance. Like, you know, they're going to lose the game. There's no time left, but he's got to be someone. He's got to show himself. And that's our culture. And now we have pushed that. We've pushed that. We've said, hey, people need to have self-esteem. And we try to help our kids have self-esteem. And I suppose there's some importance to that, but I really don't believe that. I had a horrible self-esteem. I mean, I did. I could tell you some stories in high school. My senior year, didn't join the basketball team. The coach went to my girlfriend, who's my wife now, said, why don't you let David play? And she said, well, I had nothing to do about it. And you know why I didn't play? Let me tell you why I didn't play. Poor self-esteem. I didn't think I was good enough. When I tried out as a younger guy for the basketball team, I knew I'd be cut. And I was a starter. Just thought lousy of myself. I was beat down as a young man. But you know what? I got to tell you, I don't think it's that bad. To this day, I have a lousy self-esteem. Do you know there's times, well, about every Sunday nowadays, when I preach, I go home, I try to take a nap, and I can't because I think of what a lousy job I did. No, I'm serious, and I beat myself. Something I said, especially if I talked about politics. So you notice I haven't been talking about that. And I kind of beat myself up, and I kind of, but the good thing about that is it makes me study harder. It makes me get into it and to study it so I can perform better and look better so that you might like me better. Self-esteem is not all that it's made up to be. In fact, I'll tell you something. It's not self-esteem, and you've heard me say this, it's Christ's esteem. And we need to teach our kids and those who have a poor self-esteem, it's okay, seek God. It's okay. Now, what is it? What is it with a poor self-esteem? What is a guy do? He won't do anything. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. But you have a Christ esteem. Look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist, no doubt, had a great self-esteem. He, no doubt, when he went out there, he had to get this thing done, and he stood tall, and he stood, and he pointed the finger, and he said, repent, repent of your sins, and he would tell them their sins, and he would baptize them, they would repent. But when it comes to meet Jesus Christ, his self-esteem went right down the tubes. Or he recognized really who he was. Because there is someone that is coming, he says, whose shoes I am not even worthy to unbuckle. There's something in him that he recognizes who Jesus is and was. There was something in him who recognized that this is the Christ, and I don't even have a worthiness to untie his shoes. And yet he untied Christ's shoes, so to speak. I mean, he preached the gospel. He preached about the one that would come. He preached repentance. And so you might say that even though the way he felt, He's not even worthy to untie his shoe. He was willing to do whatever God told him to do. And this Jesus is God in the flesh. Now let me skip some of the stuff I was going to talk about and go right to the third point. This thought, not worthy to untie Jesus' shoe, what does that say about us? What does it say about you, and what does it say about me? I mean, in our heart, is there that attitude that we have that we're not worthy? We're not worthy to do anything for God. We're not worthy to step into a place of prominence or to do anything for Jesus. No. He talks about a little thing that we might consider a little thing. Untie a shoe. A small thing. Sometimes I wonder in the church, what's happened to us? Did we forget who we are in Jesus Christ? Have we forgotten that we were lost in sins and that we're sinful and there's none righteous, no, not one? And that verse can be said today in this building, there's none righteous in here, no, not one. Have we forgotten who we are? That this Jesus Christ has saved us, and yet it's so hard to get people to serve him. Well, what do you mean by that? Little things. You know, you can always get people to do big things. Hey, I want you to come in and be on the board of directors. Oh, who, me? And then they get in there and they want to try to control things. It's easy to get someone in a prominent position and say, hey, I want to put this name tag on you. I want you to be in this position. And you get people to do that. But how about getting people to do little things for Jesus Christ? Or that seems little. Or that seems small. Oh, Carrie, this morning, I go back. She's in the nursery. I said, what are you doing? Because I haven't seen her in there before. Oh, I'm in the nursery today. And I thought to myself, oh, there's a good example of someone untying the shoes of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus taught us? He said, if you reach out and help the least of these, you have done it for me, or you have done it to me. I want you to think about that. Because what we find in our lives, we find ourselves all caught up into being someone, to being looking good, we want people to look good at us, on us, and instead of, hey, what am I doing for Jesus Christ? And in doing those things, those little things, it might seem like, did my thing just go out? Did it come back on? Think with me for a moment. Little things. You've heard me say this before. You go down the street, you see someone who's dirty and filthy. Someone who has a cart and they have all their goods and their stuff in it and they're walking and you bypass them. Or the guy in the corner that's begging for money. And an attitude toward them instead of, wait a minute. You know why we have attitudes like that? It's because we feel we're worthy to untie shoes. And it's got to be the right shoes. And it has to be Jesus' shoes. I'm better than they are. I'm in a good place. They're in a bad place. I am someone who has made it in life. I worked through the hard things, and they gave in to drugs. Do you realize that that's not untying a shoe? That's standing back with a critical spirit, an attitude. And isn't it amazing, people who do that are people who are not in the game? And what I mean by that, now we're all, many of us are Blazer fans. There's maybe one or two oddballs out here, but most of us are Blazer fans. And we like to watch the Blazers, we go to the game, and we enjoy that. And if you're like my wife and I used to be, we would boo the refs. We would be with that crowd and the refs, because the refs don't know anything, right? And it's amazing the experts of reffing. People who have never reffed a game in their life. People who have never reffed a college game. Never reffed an NBA game. And they're the best refs of all. You know, what is that in us? Well, we think too highly of ourselves. We think of ourselves as someone that can untie the shoe. Someone who can do it better than someone else. You know, I've been critical of the Ducks and their offensive coordinator. And I've told some guys they need to fire that guy. And maybe hire me. In Christian life, when we're critical of people, we're saying, I'm good enough to untie the shoe. I'm better than they are. I'm in a better place than they are. And here's John the Baptist, who was the greatest man who ever lived, and he said, I'm unworthy. God calls us to do little things. And it's little things that are so very important. There's a little thing down at the bottom of your notes. For want of a nail. And this has to do with something that happened with King Richard, who was in a battle, and he sent a messenger on a horse. And at least this is the folk tale of it. And he sends a messenger on the horse, and he goes running, and the nail of the shoe came off. The shoe came off, the horse fell, the guy who was going on the mission, he died. I'm trying to get that out. I'm working on it. And the war was lost. And so they made up this little thing. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a writer, the message was lost. For want of the message, the battles was lost. For want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. For all, and all for the want of a horseshoe nail. Little things. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, in his last hours, that he took the disciples and he unlatched their shoes. And he washed their feet. One who, John the Baptist says, I am not worthy to unlatch his shoe. He washes the feet of the disciples. Are we like that? Are we willing? Now, what is the thing about it? And you remember Peter. What? No, you're not going to wash my feet. No, Peter. You cannot have anything of me. And then Peter says, well, then wash all of me. Peter, shut up. No, he didn't say that. He said, Peter, you don't understand. You're clean except for your feet. And let me tell you, Christians, you're clean except for your feet. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and you're clean. But let me tell you something. You still have dirty feet that need to be washed. Now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have it come up here, and I don't even believe that's not what Jesus had in mind, to actually wash feet. But here's the thing. It tells you if you have the attitude of John the Baptist, who said, I am unworthy to untie his shoe, or that you're just like anyone else, like Judas, who wants to be seen, who wants to be somebody, and who is willing to sell Jesus Christ for just a little money. So what kind of person are you? What are dirty feet? What are the feet that are dirty? I'll tell you what it is. People who are got hang-ups. People who have hurts, trauma in their life. People who have habits. Let's look around and see if we can find any of those people. No, all of us. All of us that has some little quirk, some little thing, and in those things, sometimes we feel like we're better than someone else. It's just so funny. We've had sins in our life, maybe that God has set us free, and then we condemn the guy that struggles in that, and I do not understand how that can be. When God has set you free from that sin, and you're condemning that guy who had the same sin that you had, how can you do that? I'll tell you how. Because you feel you're worthy. You feel you did it. You feel that you reached down and washed your own feet instead of Jesus washing your feet. People who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups, people who have little idiosyncrasies, okay. So the guy that says to me and calls me a name 40 years ago, I would so respond differently now. My soul would be different. How about you? How about someone that doesn't like you? How about someone that treats you shabbily in church? There are so many Christians out there that don't go to church. You know what they say? They've been hurt. Well, let me tell you something about them. They feel they're worthy to untie the shoe lace. Because when you feel like you are unworthy, you're willing to untie the shoe lace and wash the feet. And someone who says something mean to you and does something evil towards you, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Paul said, when someone reviles you, don't speak back to them. But what do? Is you wash their feet. It wasn't that many years ago that someone wanted to meet with me, and I met with him, and it was a woman, and Pam met with us too. And this woman just, she ripped into me in such an eloquent way. She took out my heart with a few slices, took a javelin, and just and then threw it down on the ground. She just did an incredible job of messing me up. Except for, Pam asked me, how did you put up with that? And I said, well, I love her. Well, she was rotten to you. I said, I know. But I love her. I said, and you know what? Some of the things she said, I hate to admit it, but she was right. There's other things that she said she was as far off as could be. But you see, this woman was in her own life going through trauma, and she was trying to find, to let it out on someone. She happened to do it to me. She threw up several times on me. That's what people do who are hurting. That's what people do who have trauma in their life, who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And who am I? Who am I to say, I am worthy to untie those? I'm not worthy. Just go ahead and throw up on me. Go ahead. But can I love you? Why is it in the church that we're not willing to untie the shoes and to wash people's feet? It's because we feel we're worthy instead of unworthy. Because we feel that we're better than someone, or we don't deserve that, and you don't deserve it. Oh, can I restate that? Yes, you do. In fact, you deserve far worse than that. In fact, you deserve hell itself. In fact, you deserve the worst kind of torment in hell for eternity. But there is one that came into your life and knelt down and washed your feet. Aren't you willing to wash other people's feet? Don't you have the attitude of, I'm unworthy? There are a lot of people here who, that's how they view their life. Now, let me tell you, there's some people that would go, that would never go out with the children on a Wednesday night because it's beneath them. I don't think anybody here, I beat you up good enough the way you would never admit that anyway. But they go out there because in their life they feel like they're unworthy because of what Jesus has done for them. And so they go out and they listen to kids read and they give their time to children because of what Jesus has done for them. Because in their own life, they know how much they've been forgiven. How about you? How about you? Do you know how much you've been forgiven? Let me tell you, I was saved at 12 years old. And doggone, I was a pretty good kid. Not before 12, but after that, I was a pretty good kid. Well, I had a girlfriend that made sure that I was. And I was a pretty good teenager. I mean, I was one of the top in the eyes of even the school. We had trouble in one football game, and at halftime we went in at halftime, and everybody's yelling at everybody and stuff, and one guy says, stop it! All you guys, you need to be like Dave Manning. He prays. No, I didn't do that. I tried to put on a humbleness. But inside, look at me. I am the greatest. Now, I was a good kid by the standard of most, but I was a sinner boy, and I knew it. And somehow, some way, over the years, God has brought me to a place that I realize I am unworthy. I'm unworthy to preach. I'm unworthy to tie any kind of shoes, to unloose shoes. I'm unworthy to wash any feet. And yet, God says, do it. We're going to take communion. Jason, why don't you come up and just play something, would you? And men, come and pass the communion. Now, we're going to have the cups again like we did last time. Those of you, you're going to get two cups, one stacked on the other. The one is the grape juice, and the other is the cracker, okay? So when we all going to take the emblems together, and you just take the cracker, and then I'll tell you, you take the juice. Simple process. Now, the reason, you visitors, the reason I'm telling you this, because we didn't used to do it this way. We find it simpler. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When someone says to you, hey, could you do this for the church? You need to say, well, I'm not worthy, but God willing, I'll do that for Jesus. The early church at Corinth, they didn't understand this. They didn't understand their sins. And they thought they were somebody. In fact, there were some rich people, because of their wealth, they thought they were better than other people that were poor. And Paul told him, he said, man, it would be better that you didn't come to church and do communion. It'd be better you stayed home. And the reason why is because there was disunity, and they were fussing and arguing, and then there were those who were feeling that they were better than other people because they had wealth, and they wouldn't share. The wealthy people wouldn't share with the poor people. The wealthy people wouldn't share with the poor people. The people in church who have a lot wouldn't share with those who had very little. And the people who had a lot, they felt worthy that they had a lot because they worked hard and they saved and they didn't get into drugs. They didn't do bad things. And they were worthy to untie the shoes. In fact, they didn't want to mess with the little things. They wanted the big things. And Paul said, listen, let me tell you something. And you can read this in 1 Corinthians 11. This is the reason, he says, why there's sickness among you. And even that some have died of those sicknesses. Because you do not understand what communion is all about. You don't even understand what Jesus has done for you. You don't understand that he kneeled down to you, your dirty feet, with its corns, its filthiness, and how bad it smelled. And he washed your feet. That's what Jesus does. Are there people in your life that you hold grudges toward? Let me tell you, if there is, you don't discern the body of Jesus Christ correctly. Are there people that you look at and you feel like you're better than they because of something you do that they don't? Or a position that you have that they don't? Or the money maybe you have that they don't? If you feel bitter or critical of someone, you don't discern the body of Christ. Because if there was anyone who deserved to have their shoes untied, it would be Jesus Christ. And yet he stoops down and washes our feet. All the time. Still to this day. Would you really look at yourself and say, oh no, I've got my act together. I'm really a good person. Let me tell you, you're not discerning the body of Christ. And you are judging yourself by the bad people of the world, and you look at yourself as better than. Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ didn't do that. He looked down and he gave his life because he saw dirty feet. And he came from heaven to earth because he saw dirty feet. And he was willing to stoop and to wash those feet. How could we do any less? And sometimes you wash feet by just listening to people. Listening to their woes. Even when they're wrong and they're carrying on and they're being self-centered and pity party. Those are the ones that I have the hard time with. Those pity party people. I don't want to listen to them. They need to get over themselves. They need to straighten up. They need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Why would we treat people like that? Why would we have that kind of attitude? Do you really want God? And let me tell you, God can do this. God can put you in a place that you whine and complain. I'm telling you. You don't think so? Oh, be careful. Be careful. He can put you in a place to where you will cry and wonder, what has happened to me? Where is God? You don't think so? Oh, don't try him. I've been there. And I've wondered where God was. There's times I've had sleepless nights because of certain things. And wonder why God doesn't do something or overcome. And then God did something incredible thing. And I come right out of it, and I tell you, I've had to stop and say, Jesus, forgive me. I am a lowlife that I didn't trust in you. You have shown yourself. You have proven yourself to me. Well, we have the emblems of a body that was broken, the little cracker, and the blood that was shed. Father, I thank you for Jesus. And that body was broken so we could be whole. Lord, help us to see that. As we partake in these emblems, help us to see what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. Help us to see that we're far more broken than we want to admit. And yet you come and you wash our feet and you put us together. Help us to wash other people's feet. And help us to point towards you, them towards you, so that they can be put back together. Thank you for your brokenness. Let's eat together. And Father, thank you for your dear son's blood. We just can't fathom how you call us saints when we see the reality. We can't understand that you've lifted us up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, when we're still in the muck and mire. but we thank you for the washing and cleansing. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done through Jesus Christ. And may we be a people who are so willing to do whatever we can do for others, that they might come to that same knowledge, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse them. Let's drink together. Let's stand. Can we sing? Do you have a song? Oh, you do. Okay, I won't mess you up then. No, I'm brain dead. Go ahead. Thinking of people who are not worthy to even do little things, but they do them for Jesus. You know, you guys don't know. You know who Rick Headings is? He's right outside the door, but I'm going to talk about him. Rick Headings comes early every Sunday morning. You know what he does? He gets out of his truck, his car, and he walks around and goes in the buildings, and he sees if there's anyone sleeping in there, so that when our ladies or whoever goes into a room to help with the kids and stuff, there's not a man standing there. So every morning he does that. Then he comes in here, he sets up the chairs. Every morning he spends so much time. He folds our bulletins. I never worry about any of that stuff, because he's washing feet. He's doing things, the little things that might seem little, but let me tell you, they're so important. You know those guys back there in the PA? They're gonna get low. No one appreciates them, you know, except for a handful. Because when something goes wrong, all of a sudden the necks start turning. It was so funny last Sunday when we didn't have a guy doing the overhead. Everybody. I tell you, there's so many people around here that do so many things. And tying shoes and unloosing shoes and washing feet. And if you're not, all I can say is shame on you. How could you not do something for Jesus? How could you not wash some feet? Hey, you're dismissed. Love one another as you go, and have a great week in Jesus Christ.